And we're back.
Hello there.
Scary but true. This is the third session we've ever done.
Indeed.
Yeah. Scary times ahead.
So we were here doing the Jumpstart video recordings. Well, they were recorded and have been online now. 12 video recordings when the beta came out. And now, a week on after the final release of the developer tools, we're here to update you on some of the changes that are in the RTM version.
Yeah, you said the word beta there, beta. In American style, which is incredibly impressive. as usual, I'm pressing buttons for anything to happen. Here we go. Welcome. Thanks for coming back. If you haven't come back before, where were you? We've got 7 hours of Windows Phone content, and we have a cast of thousands and guest stars on this one. We've got people coming in to give us talks about Expression Blend later on, and a really amazing question and answer session right at the end with all the big wheels and Microsoft SMEs coming in to actually discuss the phone and answer your questions, along with the occasional joke. I've got a lot of comments about the jokes in the previous sessions, but quite frankly, I don't care. So I'm going to put them in again. This, of course, is a tradition. This is the good icebreaker that we always start our sessions with, and I can hear the howls of protest around the world, but we'll move quickly past that and keep going. I'm still Rob Miles. I'm still writing device application type stuff. I'm still at the University of Hull. And I'm still writing books. And Andy?
Yeah, and you'll not be surprised to know that I'm still Andy Wigley, Device Dev MVP and Director of AppleMundi. Lots of speaking engagements coming up, so I hope to see some of you on those with the launch of Windows Phone 7, including TechEd Europe in Berlin.
Yeah, I'll be there too, by the way, doing bits and bobs, and I'm still tall. Yes, it's not an introductory course. If you've not programmed for the phone before, we do have sessions, there's a link on there. If you want to learn C#, take a look at my yellow book. So we're assuming that you've done some phone work and now want to go on to the next level. That's kind of where we're coming from here. So if you do want to watch our old stuff, then by all means do that. The jokes are exactly the same, but you'll have to learn to live with that, I'm afraid. Getting started, usual stuff, Windows PC, SDK, training kit. An actual phone is not necessarily required to get started, but we're moving into frontiers, particularly with performance, where a real device is a boon to actually find out what your code really looks like on the proper platform.
Okay.
And, you can get our stuff in the usual place, borntolearn.mslearn.net, WP7 default.sbx. You can find all the bits and pieces, PDFs of the course materials, and all the sample code that we're showing off will be there as well. So you can download that, play with it, make it work, learn from it, use it to base your applications, including the world-famous Cheese Lander app, which will be taking the marketplace by storm, I have absolutely no doubt. Okay, that's our website, that's the screenshot, so feel free to go down there and start pulling the material down.
There's also a forum on that website, so if you've got any questions, you can post it to the community based on that site and get answers from other attendees and quite possibly from ourselves.
Okay. Yep, demos, yep, we've got some labs and demos, and we'll flag out the Windows Phone training materials when we think it's worthwhile. There's some really, really good stuff out there. There's some very good games and bits and pieces and nice Silverlight things that are well worth taking the time to go through.
Yeah.
And so we'll pull those out and mention those in context as we go through. If you... I've found a bug on this slide. Yellow means false, purple means true. And so if you want to actually have a go at this now, change your seat colour to actually match what you think is answer to the first question, which is, Rob knows all the best jokes. If you think that's true, go purple. If you think that's false, go yellow. And nobody in the audience has moved. Nobody. Oh, we've got some purples. Oh, thank you.
Thank you
very much. That's one. Okay. I'm going to move on because we're a bit pushed for time here. The answer to that question is, actually, I do know all the best jokes. I just choose not to tell them. Okay? So that is, in fact, true. Windows Phone 7 is awesome source. Absolutely. And the final question, which Andy knows the answer to, Andy lives in Wales, these questions are actually all true, but there'll be false ones thrown in, and we'll pick some winners at random and do some bits and bobs all the way through to the end, and someone will win their own executive jet, which I have actually got with me in this room.
Okay.
Surprising though that may sound. Okay, once you've done the review, go back to red or green so that we can keep track of how well you're doing, and we can even get help if you're having problems. Okay. please ask questions. Good questions are things like, how come you're so good looking, Rob? Never get asked that, but it has to be a first time. We can't guarantee to actually answer them here and now, but we'll get back to you, and please use the forums if you want to use those as well.
All right.
Welcome along to Getting Started with Windows Phone. This is the first session that effectively sets the scene for what the phone's about, how you write programs for it, and why it's just so cool. And when I press mouse buttons, things are supposed to happen, which is always nice. I'm going to get a very quick overview of the phone, a bit about the marketplace and how you can become a developer and achieve fame and fortune like what Andy and I have got.
Absolutely.
From writing Windows Phone apps, how the developer options actually pan out, what you have to do to become a developer, how your system has to be set up, and a little bit about how you make the application. So basically, quick overview of what makes the phone such a fun platform and how it works. You probably know about 60% of this already, but the other 40% we hope you'll find useful, and it might be a different one for everybody out there. So without further ado, I like a bit of ado, but too much ado gets fattening apparently. Quick look at the phone. It's in the shop soon. It has a resolution of at least 480 by 800 QVGA. There is talk of a smaller one, but at the moment, as far as the App Store is concerned, the only one you're writing for is the one that's 480 pixels wide and 800 high, or vice versa. You can do landscape or portrait. You can have up to 4 touch points on the screen. You have a GPS sensor and an accelerometer. Those are the two that your programs can use at the moment. The compass and the light actually aren't available from the APIs that are provided by the present level of the SDK. You have a camera. You have some buttons that behave in specific ways that tie your application to using them in particular ways. You can play video with this thing within your programs if you wish. You'll have at least 1/4 GB and 8 GB of flash to put your programs in. You have hardware powered up graphics with a GPU. And you have, I think the specs are gigahertz, is it, a processor?
Yes, that's right, yeah.
So you've got a thing which a few years ago would have made you a god among computer owners. But now just makes you a Windows Phone, which is almost as good.
And it's worth mentioning that these phones, of course, are going to be available from many different hardware suppliers. But this is the minimum spec. So you are guaranteed to have these facilities in a Windows Phone, which is a good place from a developer to be, because perhaps in the predecessor of the products, there was a bit too much variation, which makes it much harder as a developer to write one app that's going to run across the range. But because of this, the way that the hardware platform has been defined in this quite rigid way, if you like, it makes it a much easier job for the developers to know what their targets are going to be in terms of writing software for a wide range of phones from all the suppliers.
The one I'm particularly interested in, 256 megabytes of RAM. I know for a fact that quite a few of the machines coming out on launch are going to have at least that, double that. And so your program can actually find out how much RAM it's got and behave accordingly. And that's allowed in the rules as well, which is nice. So you're starting from a very strong, very solid, very common platform to put your programs on. You've got touch, you've got media, you've got data. You can use Link to get hold of your stored objects, which is rather nice. You've got .NET. You've got a user interface which is common across all the platforms in the same way as the hardware has been made common. So whatever you make to complement the way the phone works will complement that mechanism on every single platform from every single manufacturer. And you've also got the ability to talk to the cloud, of course, because you're very connected.
I just want to say on the .NET side of things, so we have, it's managed development only on this platform, and the DevTools were launched with C# being the only programming language initially, but at the time we were recording this, VB has just been released as a CTP, so that will be coming along as well. But we're talking about managed code development only, so no native on this platform.
Yes, but the good news is if you have assemblies written in other .NET languages you want to make part of your app, you can do that, because it's MSI origins at the end of the day. So a lot of common platform capabilities, all good stuff, all hangs together. In terms of how you actually make money with this, it's worth having a quick word about the developer and the way the marketplace works. You have your tools. You can use them to produce this thing called a ZAP file, which is basically a lump. It's actually a ZIP archive.
It is a ZIP. If you change the extension, you can unzip it just the same as any other ZIP file. Yeah.
But having made that, you can play with it on your emulator. You can even push your ZAP file out to people to play with on their phones and emulators if they're developers.
If it's unlocked, yes.
Yes, that's right. You can then push it into the process by which your application is approved, and there are some packaging and verification tools you use to do that from the web-hosted developer portal. And at that point, you can then push the thing into the marketplace. And once it's there, people can buy it and give you money. The whole thing's been structured to actually allow applications to be easy to find. They've also made restrictions, so we're not going to get a deluge of huge numbers of free apps. Some people took the marketplace of other mobile phones by storm, sort of, by making loads and loads and loads and loads and loads of free applications. In the case of Windows Phone, that's going to be constrained.
Well, let me qualify that. I mean, it's not that it's constrained as such, except that when you get a developer account on the Windows Phone site, you register on there and you have to pay an annual subscription, $95. And that allows you to submit any number of paid apps, but you're limited to three.
It's five per year.
Five per year free ones, yeah. I mean, you can pay for an additional developer account, or there isn't a charge, for additional free apps.
Yeah, $20 per violation.
So you're limited to a certain number of free, but then thereafter you have to start paying, because all these apps have to go through the certification process. So, there's all work that has to be done before these apps are made available in the marketplace. So.
Yeah, two of the things you can do, though, as a developer, you can produce try before you buy code. Your code can pick up it's being used in trial mode and offer an in-game or in-application upgrade to people to purchase the full version. And you can also send people deep links to actual demo versions of your program, a link they can then follow to download the application onto their phone directly. As far as the money's concerned, there is money. You get 70% coming into you of any revenue from your apps, which is actually really rather nice. And it's made very easy for the users to buy and download the content as well. So it's all nice and seamless. As it says on the slide, just under $100 a year, that's basically two video games, is it, to get to do this? That gives you any number of paid apps and up to five free ones. Additional free ones cost $20 a pop. Students are very lucky. They can sign up via DreamSpark, which is a student initiative for free Microsoft software, all kinds of good stuff in there, including Marketplace membership for free. So if you're a student on a course, you have an Athens username or university email address, go on DreamSpark, sign up, and you can have your apps in the Marketplace alongside everybody else's and get paid just the same. We have a session, which comes along towards the end of this set, which has a whole hour's worth of Marketplace. Yep. Well worth seeking that out and taking a look, because that takes you through the whole process, tells you how it all works, and what to do to make your apps ready to go in there and start earning for you.
It's worth mentioning also that for each developer account that you register, you can unlock up to three physical phones. So that allows you to use them for development and testing, yep, doing from Visual Studio, deploying your apps onto a real phone, and testing them out on that.
Yeah, students can do just the one phone. That's the one limitation of being a student member, but it's free, which is the good news. So seek out that session, watch it all the way through. It's definitely worth doing if you're serious about making money, and you should be. There's a lot of chances out there to do quite well on this one. Here's development options. How do you write the code? Okay. Well, the good news is that effectively you've got all the elements you'd expect to see on a desktop development platform, pretty much. You've got Silverlight, you've got XNA, you've got a tool chain that includes Visual Studio. You can design your Silverlight front ends using Blend. And so you have a whole backstory, if you like, of really, really good stuff. You've also got cloud services. We'll come and look at those a little bit later on in the course itself. You've got notification services. You've got Bing Maps you can use to actually use the location of the phone to very good effect. And so you've got all the stuff you need to wrap around your device and make it into a really, really viable platform for doing some very, very interesting things. I'll make the point straight away that there's basically two flavors of application. There's Silverlight, which is that's the one that wears a suit, if you like. That's the one that does the line of business stuff. That's the one where if you're thinking of writing a line of business app, then you're going to be using Silverlight for that, because that provides you with all the components, controls, and elements that you want to use to make pages for folks to work with, browse pages, do maps, that kind of stuff. If you're more casually dressed in jeans and a ripped t-shirt, you're writing XNA, and that gives you high-performance gaming abilities in 3D on the phone. We have shader support on the phone, but you can't write your own shaders yet. But the ones that are provided are really, really good and optimized to make the best of the phone performance. lots of content pipeline options, or you can write your own pipeline importers for content of your own. It's a very solid technology, been around for a long time on the Xbox and the Windows PC, and it's now on the phone as well. If you have a game that runs on the Xbox and works quite nicely, please try it on the phone. The success stories I've heard from this on people taking their games and making them work in a couple of days on the phone, a lot of people have done that. The only issue is, of course, you haven't got any buttons to press on the gamepad. You're using tilt or you're using touch. But you can very easily compensate for that. And I've seen some splendid conversions of games. Average conversion time, a weekend, which is rather nice. So you've got those two flavors. Take them one at a time. X and A, yeah. If you've written it before, you slide across. The little shot you can see is one of the rockets from the very first space fighting game in XNA for the Xbox. I took the model, put it in a very small program, ran it on the phone, and in about 10 minutes I had a space rocket that you could tip the phone and the rocket would stay upright and just keep it on the sweet. And so you've got a lot of performance there you can play with. If you want to write Silverlight, yep, absolutely. This produces really nice looking stuff. You get components that match the ones that the phone has got built in. So your apps, if you pick up the standard components, will look like the mail client, the maps client, the browser. They'll pick up all those behaviors and look like they're part of the phone, which is exactly what you want in this situation. So a lot of potential there for very good applications, easy to write to. And since it's a two-way street, skills you pick up on the phone, you can use in the desktop. And skills you have on the desktop, you can use on the phone as well, in both XNA and Silverlight. Great stuff. Okay. In terms of this is a slide that builds itself. I love these. At the bottom, if you're looking in terms of how this thing works, we have a chunk of hardware which is manufactured by Samsung, LG, HTC, that actually provides the phone. They then on top of that produce kernel layer which provides security, networking and storage. And then you've got this thing called the hardware BSP, and Andy knows what BSP stands for.
Board Support Package. So this is embedded hardware, people will be familiar with this. So this is the kind of linkage between the built-in hardware components in the phone, and it puts the drivers on and the software layer that the phone OS sits above this and talks to all this hardware.
So what you're seeing here is how the phone is built. The grey stuff is manufactured by the people that build the phones, and they make it work the best way they can, and then put a layer on top that makes it look like a Windows phone, at which point we can start building stuff which you're going to start seeing. It looks very familiar across lots and lots of platforms, app management, shells, Xbox Live and Bing and integration. All these services lay on top of the BSP and are provided in a similar way. So that at this point we're now in Windows Phone land, and on top of those you put your applications, you've got your common language runtime, I know what CLR stands for.
Very good.
And then you've got your Silverlight, you've got your XNA, you've got your HTML JavaScript in the browser.
Yep.
And then on top of that you have the frameworks that provide all the resources you're going to use, and the behaviors you're going to use. On top of that you put your programs. So it's a nice, well-developed stack. The wonderful thing for you is that when you get to your bit, the grey bit at the very, very top, you don't have to worry at all about what's underneath. Brand of the phone's irrelevant.
That's right. The framework as such is, if you like, is the Silverlight developer library and the XNA developer libraries that you're programming against. So, and there's other good stuff in there like the Silverlight toolkit and all the controls, the pivot and panorama that allow you to mimic the behavior of the built-in apps. And so you have a great, real good foundation on which to build your apps and create rich apps that fit well with the phone and become apps that extend the phone and make it a pleasure to use.
Yeah, you can take an idea and make it work on this thing really, really easily. Mm-hmm. In the case of mobile devices that are connected and location aware, there's lots of scope for really good ideas and brand new apps. So, as the slide says, if you know Silverlight, you're away. If you know XNA, you're away. If you know Visual Basic or C#, it seems like you're away, which is really nice news.
Yeah.
You can't twiddle with the hardware. There's no platform invoking allowed.
Okay.
This is because the phone has to be reliable. The users will want this thing to work all the time, and we can't have naughty applications twiddling with the low-level bits and pieces and making the phone do strange stuff. And so you are restricted in that respect. As Andy said, it's a managed code only, this. And they've worked very hard to make the thing responsive in that situation as well. So if you've got lots and lots of little tricks you used to use on Windows Mobile in what we used to call the good old days, but now I think we might call the bad old days.
I think we might, yes. Let's revisit that.
Yeah.
Shall we?
Then if you've got those skills, I'm afraid they're now useless to you. But the good news is you just don't have to do it because it's all there already.
Yeah.
So if you can write C#, you can write for the phone. And VB is coming along as well, which is really nice to see. But, and this is a big bug, I'd make this flash and dance around. You're making a program for one of these, okay? The battery inside provides a limited power support. You've also got all kinds of constraints in terms of thermal and cost, which means it's a small device, okay? Decisions you make about how the application works can have a horrible effect on the way the phone works and how long the battery lasts. So you do have to bear in mind when you design your application that you have to think about performance right from the start.
Yeah.
On the desktop, you can hide bad sloppy programming practice by the fact you have a thing going at 3 gigahertz and 8 gigabytes of RAM. On this, your code has nowhere to hide. There is some really, really good performance guidance coming out now. The secret for me, the thing you should do first, is make sure that you are trying your program on a real device from the very start. The emulator will see in a minute or two, very impressive, but doesn't give you a feel for how fast the program might go.
Yep, so code lean and code smart. And, you know, it's a very, very powerful, these programming frameworks are extremely powerful. But just to reiterate that, you have to remember that you as a developer are also responsible for creating a good user experience. So if we want this phone, you want this phone to be a success, what you don't want to be doing is writing apps that are compute intensive and running the battery down, and so you are also responsible for making sure that your application is a good citizen on the device.
So if you're making gazillions of objects and expecting Mr. Garbage Man to come and pick them up, on a desktop that's what happens. On the phone, yeah, the Garbage Man will still come, but he'll probably slow everybody else down.
He'll be knackered in no time.
That's it, yeah. Don't hurt the Garbage Man. Reuse stuff. Use object pools. Do all the sensible things. Look at your Silverlight and try it on a real device as soon as you can, because these are the kind of things that will make your application better than anybody else's. And that's what you want, because then you'll sell it.
Indeed.
So there you go. So that's the phone. Becoming a developer, okay? This is the strange initiation rite that you have to go through, which is actually not strange. Get hold of the tools for free. Build your application. Register to publish. Distribute it. And then sit back and wait for the money to come in.
That's it.
It's nothing to it. It is as simple as that. Developer portal, developer.windowsphone.com is your new best friend, because that's where you sign in, that's where you register, and that's where you find the tools. And there's also some links now to resources and sample apps and all kinds of very good stuff.
The docs are on there, great sample apps. There's lots of really good good guidance, good content coming out all the time. So keep visiting this site and you'll find lots of stuff that's going to make your life easier as a developer.
This isn't in the deck, but I should mention it. #WP7DEV is the Twitter tag that everybody's using to push information out. And there's some really, really active MVPs who are very, very careful and watching what's going on out there and pushing it up there. So if you want, if you're on Twitter, keep an eye on that tag, because that's where all the hot news tends to go. It's on one of my hit lists straight away. It's a good place. Some of my blog posts have got that tag. Amazing, isn't it? So just sign up and away you go. Again, one little thing I will mention about the portal as well. When you register, the system makes a VeriSign key for you, which you can use to sign the programs you write. To do that, they have to prove you're who you say you are. Now, this doesn't particularly hurt.
No.
But it does introduce a delay. It can take a few weeks for their process to run through. They have to see a photo ID. They have to ring you up at home and find out who you really are. Okay? That takes a little while. So if you want to start writing applications and selling them, then I would get on and get registered as soon as you can, because that process, don't think, I'll make my app, then I'll register. Register now, and then you can do your app and get your authentication through in parallel.
There's also a bit of paperwork you have to go through to fill in some tax forms, basically.
Oh, yeah.
And they have to be sent through to Microsoft so that when the happy day comes and they've got lots of money to send you, that you don't get taxed over any more than you need to be. So there's a bit of a process that goes through. So get started straight away, get your registration in, pay your money, get on Marketplace, and then start developing your apps. And by the time your app is finished, if you're doing all these other processes, you'll be ready to submit it to Marketplace. And
Watch our session. It's all in there. It's all good stuff. setting up your system? Well, always a good plan. Single download. You don't have to bring down the DevTools from here and the emulator from here and Blend from somewhere else. One shot brings you the whole thing. Just download the little program that pulls it all in, and away you go. It took me about an evening to get going, and I've got fairly slow broadband.
Hey, and on a fast connection, it takes no time at all.
About 300 meg, tops. Yeah. And that gives you express edition of the tool chain, the phone emulator, a bit of Blend, and Game Studio 4.0.
I should mention, if you've got an adult version of Visual Studio already installed, like professional or above, you don't have to do anything special, so you get the same download and it will look at your system. And if you've already got a paid version of Visual Studio in there, Visual Studio 2010 of course, it will simply integrate the phone tools into that existing one. So you don't end up with, you know, an Express Edition sitting alongside. It becomes just an integrated part of your regular Visual Studio installation.
And that means you can use all the fancy refactoring tools that you've paid for when you bought the posh Visual Studio in the phone development process.
And what you don't get with the Express Edition, if we start doing like cloud service, web services things, and you're developing a back-end web service and the client, of course, you can't develop the web service in the Express Edition of Visual Studio, although you can go along and then download the appropriate Express Edition for web.
Which works really well, by the way. They do work side by side.
It's
very nice. Yeah. So, bottom line really is you can be started and running for free in about half an hour, and it is that easy. But like I said earlier, please try and get a real device or find someone who's got one to push files to and see how they really work, because that's very valuable. In terms of the OS's, Windows Vista or Windows 7, all editions except Starter, because that has process limitations that you can't get by to run the toolchain. So that's anything which has been bought in the last 5 years, I would say, pretty much. Yep. Hardware, at least 3 gigs of hard drive space and 2 gigs of RAM. Robert would say 2 gigs it will work, 4 gigs you can do stuff. I actually had it running on a netbook, and it does work. You can't do game development, but you can do Silverlight in that situation. But by gum, it's a bit on the chuggy side. That was a netbook with 2 gigabytes of RAM. If you want to write games and deploy them to the emulator, you want at least DirectX 10 with the device driver model 1.1 drivers, because the phone contains graphics hardware that's quite powerful, and to emulate, you have to have matching hardware on the PC. So your netbooks, your low-power notebooks and that kind of thing are not going to have the graphics hardware that will make it work to emulate games.
It's kind of weird situation where your phone's got better graphics than your laptop.
Yes, so that can happen. It happened to me. It was very irritating. I didn't have any computer. But we digress. The tools, we've already said this. developer.windowsphone.com, your new best friend. Go there, bring it down and get started. And then off you go. Grading applications, we've kind of done this, haven't we? Just use Express. There's a screenshot there of how it looks, and I can make this animate. I can drag tools onto the design surface to build up my application. I can then actually just fire it up, and away we go. You can put breakpoints in, you can single step, you can use the immediate window, you can do all the powerful, wonderful stuff on the desktop, emulator, or in the real phone. So you can step through code in the phone device itself, which is a completely wonderful thing to be able to do. Very, very useful indeed. You get on the emulator the same logical behavior as you do on the real device, but as it says here, the performance behavior and user experience, you won't get the same as you do on the real device. Typically, most PCs do seem to be more powerful than Windows Phone. And so from that point of view, do bear that in mind.
It is a very, very good environment for developing in, though. And like for example, the frame rate is capped at 60 frames per second in the emulator, even though your PC is probably capable of much more than that. So it is capped at a similar rate, so you can use it for testing all your animations and stuff. But in general, of course, it will exceed the performance on the phone.
If you happen to have a multi-touch Windows 7 monitor, you can actually do the pinching and the zooming in the emulator as well, which is always nice. Okay? So, if you want to go to the physical device, effectively your marketplace ID is the key to unlocking the device that you've got. And students can do one device, registered guys can do up to 3. And as I said before, debugging in the device is easy peasy lemon squeezy, to use a technical term. Not a problem at all. So, quick review, usual true falses, lots of them, which is always good. It'll go red for a right one and No, it won't do it. It'll go green for a right.
Green for a right
green
one. For yeah.
Green is good, red is bad. Windows
I apologize for those of you colorblind because they'll look the same.
Once I watched a snooker match on a black and white telly where the man said, for those of you watching in black and white, the yellow ball is behind the brown. I thought that was hilarious, but I digress. Okay, Windows devices are based on a common platform. That should go green because indeed they are. Windows uses managed code. It's the only way to travel, people. All this low-level bit twiddling just goes away because the system just works. Okay, we use 2010. These are so easy and most of them are true. You can't get to the cloud from the phone. What do you reckon?
A disconnected phone would be a very poor thing, so that has to be wrong.
The phone is part of the Windows Phone is part of the Windows Phone ecosystem, which has got Xbox Live and all kinds of other things directly tied to the phone itself. So if this has going to happen, that has to go red, and it does. Okay, here's another one. You have to join the marketplace to write the apps.
Well, actually, that's not true.
That's
you
not
don't
true.
Have to.
Because you can write the apps with a free download.
And you can show them to your friends, but if you want to sell them, you do have to.
Yeah, that's right. If you have any friends, of course, the other thing, you have to find some friends too, which is a sticking point for me. You have to pull the emulator down separately. No, you don't. It's part of the package.
You get everything with one download.
Okay. You have to have a 3D graphics card to write applications. Well, you can do Silverlight without 3D support. If you're wearing a suit, then you'll probably
if you're,
be okay.
If you're a serious, sober person like me.
Yes, another...
Not a trivial...
Lightweight. then, yes. But these days... The requirements are not huge, but just make sure that you think about that if you're buying a new device to write programs on now. Okay, that's totally wrong. And you can use Expression Blend to make your UI. Indeed you can. In fact, if you use the Blend interface, you can actually do things on the phone that are much harder to do actually inside Visual Studio.
Yep.
Indeed. So it's worth finding someone who knows Blend or having some fun and games with it, because that's how you get the absolute best out of the way your applications work. And so that's it. The phone, it's fun, it's powerful. Remember it's a phone, and get yourself registered, get your tools, and start writing programs. If you want to actually have a go at doing this, a really good starting point is this lab we're suggesting here, which is on the training kit. And we have a list of, if you do exercise one, tasks one and two, they get you going, building, and deploying applications that are pre-built, so yep. all the pain sort of taken away from you a bit.
Yep.
So get those, have a go at them, and once you've done that, then you can think about picking up some of the later labs we're going to suggest and actually taking yourself even further.
In the next talks in this series, we're going to be going a bit more in-depth in how you build Silverlight applications for Windows Phone. So that's the next couple of talks in this series.
Okay, well, and come back and see them, because they're really good.
Yeah.